Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Heavenly Father, let that be all of our prayers, that there is no one else. We proclaim that there is no one else, but help that to sink in, that in our lives we can say, Father, there is no one else. Jesus, there is no one else for me but you. Lord God, help that to change our perspective. Help that to change our thinking. Lord God, in a world that competes for our attention, for our every moment, for our resources, Lord God, help us get back to the basics of you and you alone.
Thank you.
So Jesus, there is none like you. And for me personally, there is no one else but you for me. So we proclaim that today, Jesus, in humble submission. We proclaim it. We lay it right down in front of us. And that means we yield to you. So Lord God, as we yield, we open up ourselves to your voice, to your guidance, to your teaching, to your conviction, to your challenge, to your confirmation. Lord, help us not to run anymore from that. Lord God, whatever you need to do in each one of our lives, personally as well as this church, Lord God, do that. We long for that. We ask for that. Jesus, today we just proclaim you once again. We lift you high today. We're here simply because of you and for no other reason.
Yes.
Lord, you desire us,
yes,
to be with each other, to have companionship with each other. But Lord God, that flows from you and through you. So Lord God, the companionship that we'll enjoy today, even after services we eat together, Lord God, that is meant to flow through you. So Lord God, help us to again understand that and realize that. But Jesus, once again, today is the day that is all about you. So we pray this prayer and we worship this worship all in the name, the glorious name, the powerful name of Jesus, the name that we never get tired of saying. I want to say that word all the time. It's the only name that truly conveys the love and the power, and we give you the respect that only you deserve. So Jesus, we pray this in your name, and everyone shout it out. Amen. That was a quiet shout, but I'll take it. That's better. That is better. All right. Well, you guys may be seated. You guys are so good at that, I don't even have to say that. Hey, before I dismiss the kids, I want to recognize Bruce and Debbie, as well as everyone else who helped. This VBS was, for lack of other words, amazing. It was so good, and the kids loved it, and the response from the parents was so good. It was so much fun. Everything, to the weather, to the volunteers, the activities, all of it went off without a hitch. It was so, so good. And Bruce is always already thinking about next year's, which is awesome. Plan ahead. If you want to sign up to volunteer next year, we're not putting the sign-up sheet out yet, but that's okay. But thank you guys so much. I mean, it was so good. I posted every day something, skills or the singing and all of that, and every day I got responses on Facebook, and people liked it, making comments. So a lot of parents just thanked us for loving their kids and doing this. And yeah, it was so good. So thank you guys once again. You guys, man, you hit it out of the park. Hit it out of the park. So with that being said, I will dismiss the kids now. And you guys can go on down. We had 34 volunteers. 34 volunteers. And Debbie knows that because she wrote thank you notes to all 34 volunteers. That's a lot of volunteers, and that's a lot of people that are helping. And I love VBS because I love watching the kids, right? But even more, I love watching our volunteers and how they kind of rise up to whatever they're doing. It's just so fun to watch the sergeants. They each had their groups, all of those different things. It was great. Yeah, it was so good. So thank everybody that participated in that. Thank you for praying and all of those good things. Announcements. I'm just going to do one announcement today. We got last Sundays today, right? We got last Sunday. So afterwards, let's just stay and let's love on each other and eat together and just enjoy each other. Obviously, the last Sunday of every month we do this. It's awesome. I know we are now into that time of the year where we have a lot of people throughout these next several weeks that are going to be in and out due to vacations and things like that. I think family camp starts next weekend, so church is going to look just a little bit different, but we're going to continue on our series and everything, and thankfully, if you miss, you can get it online, so please keep up on that, all that good stuff. Giving, there's four ways to give like always, right? You can find Text Give. You can use our giving box or you can mail it to 725 Granite Avenue. It's always good. We know why we give. It's important to give. We give, and in return, man, God just loves us to be obedient and to worship. So that's the reason in all of that. All right. Well, I got to do something quite fun this morning. I want to introduce you guys to somebody here in this church, and a lot of you guys have already met her, but Mackenzie is a Chi Alpha missionary, and I've been wanting to do this, but with different things going on. Come on up here. Don't stay down there. How many of you guys already know Mackenzie? How many of you guys already know? She's amazing, right? I'm going to let her talk just a little bit here, and so the rest of you know her, and then we'll talk a little bit more, but go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So I just told you guys, my name is Mackenzie. If you haven't met me before, I was the person running around crazy last week, also along with one of you guys, and I work for the Campus Missionary for Chi Alpha here in Kelowna, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about this ministry this morning, but before I start, I actually want to tell you a little bit about my story of how I came to salvation, because that actually occurred due to the faithful pursuit of people in Chi Alpha when I was in college. So I'm not from a Christian family, and for most of my childhood, I longed for a relationship with God, but I had no idea how that would occur. So I was like, okay, I just gotta do better and be a good kid and serve and do work for God, and then God will love me, right? That's how that works. And we all know that good deeds don't earn God's love. And so without a relationship with God, I just started to think God probably doesn't care about me. And I grew pretty far from him. And as I entered into college, I pretty much had decided God doesn't care about me and was pretty far from the things of God and living in a lot of sin. And this all changed when I met Tasha. Tasha was someone that loved Jesus, and I'd never met anyone like her before. So Tasha, those two know her. Tasha also discipled Bailey, so you could also ask Bailey about her, but Tasha loved Jesus, and I had never met someone like her before, and she just pursued real friendship with me. She showed me that she cared about me and not just about trying to convert me, because I was not really very interested. And as she pursued real friendship with me, she taught me that I could trust Christians, and she would just open up her life to me. And she somehow convinced me to go to her Bible study. Don't know how she did that, but one night afterwards, it was just so clear to me, like, this girl has real faith. She actually has something with God that I don't have and I've never seen before. And so I asked her what her secret was, and she shared the gospel with me. And that was something that I genuinely never heard before. I'd heard about, like, okay, Jesus dies for our sins, but I had no idea what that meant and why that mattered. I had no idea why he died for our sins, and it was something that I honestly just didn't think mattered at all. And so when she explained the gospel to me and explained that it was because God wanted relationship with us, it was like this light bulb clicked in my brain, and I was like, wait, I could have a relationship with God? This thing that I've wanted my whole life, I could have? Mm-hmm. And
Tasha gave me the opportunity that night to accept Jesus and to surrender to him. And I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't realize that was going to be this life-changing moment that just changed the trajectory of my life and my eternity. But after that moment, I started to walk out a relationship with God and was walking into things of the kingdom and away from things of the world with Tasha by my side, who was discipling me and teaching me about the kingdom because I just had no idea. And Tasha quickly got me involved within the Chi Alpha community, and they discipled me along with her, and they showed me that as a believer of Jesus, that it was my job, that all of us, it's our job to share about him with others and to disciple others. And not only did they teach me that that was something that I needed to do, but they taught me how to do it, and they gave me opportunities to do it by joining a leadership team where I was able to do what Tasha had done for me. And so as I was in college and was learning how to make disciples, I just started growing more and more in love with Jesus and just growing more of a heart for the lost and a desire to see the people around me to know the Lord. And so from that, I just kept growing this heart for the lost. And now the reason I share this with you this morning isn't just to talk about myself on a Sunday, although, you know, we all like talking about ourselves a little bit. But I'm sharing this with you because I wasn't very much different from the average student that enters into Carroll. Most students that come to Carroll, maybe they have a little bit of a faith background, but a lot of them are lost and they're confused, and they have limited understanding of the gospel. And every year, more and more students come to our college with pretty much limited Christian background. We have more and more students every year that don't come from Christian families, and of those that do come from Christian families, so many of them lack an understanding of who Jesus truly is. And even so, those that actually are professing Christians, that they believe in Jesus and they love him, the statistics don't look good, and 70% of students that come to college professing Jesus as their Lord and Savior leave after their 4 years no longer being a faithful believer. So that's a pretty big deal given that this is our next generation of leaders, and these are the people that are going to go out and share about Jesus with other people. So if they're not following, then we see a big issue here, right? So college students are in desperate need of someone to not only share the message of Jesus with them for people like me who never knew it, but also are in desperate need of people to empower them, equip them, and disciple them into fulfilling their purpose in God's global plan. So Chi Alpha is a national college campus ministry organization designed to do just that. And as a ministry here in Helena, we have a lot of different ways in which we minister to college students, but the heartbeat of what we do is one-on-one discipleship because we want to model our ministry after what Jesus did, which was faithfully pouring into a few and teaching them how to make disciples that make more disciples. And so that's our purpose and goal, is that we want to make disciples that make more disciples. We're passionate about having our students not only be transformed in their own lives and transform the lives of those around them by sharing Jesus with their friends here in college, but we want them to leave Carroll, leave their 4 years of school, whether that's going out all the way across the world into the mission field or whether that's going into the marketplace just down the street. We want them to leave being ready to make disciples that make more disciples. And so as a missionary with Chi Alpha, I have the opportunity to be partnered with other people in this. So I get to support Raise and get to have people praying for me. And so I have you guys as a church behind me. And I just wanted to give you guys the opportunity to get to know me a little more. And Pastor Jason allowed me to chat with you guys so you could do so and so I can get to know you guys. But if you would like to learn more about Chi Alpha and what I do and what we do here in Helena, or you would like to learn about what it would look like to partner with me in ministry, or would want to sign up for my newsletter, or just get to know me, I would love to chat with you guys more. So, yeah, thank you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Mackenzie, I wish you could be a little more excited about this. I wish you could smile a little more. Right. So, this is awesome, right? So, it was almost like Stephen and Danny went to India and God brought Mackenzie right in, and we love having this here, don't we? So I'm going to ask you guys, she is one of our own, right? She is part of us. She is part of this. She has decided to make this her body. So we need to get behind her and do several things. Number one, I'm going to ask you guys to pray for Mackenzie. But whenever we pray for a missionary, we don't just pray for the missionary, we pray for that missionary's mission field, right? So we pray for Mackenzie, but we also pray for her to have open doors and have those opportunities. How many of you in here think you could handle that? to add her to your prayer list on a daily, a weekly basis, whenever you see her. She has prayer cards. Did you bring prayer cards? We'll put the prayer cards out on the table like all the other ones, but for today, you got to ask her for a prayer card. I want you to ask her for that. Number two, as a church and a body of believers of amazing people, we want to specifically sow into her as she takes her week and she's out and she's ministering, she's discipling, she's giving out. She needs to be poured back into. So we want to really sow into Mackenzie. So that means, man, if you feel like, hey, I should take her out to coffee. You like coffee, right? That's a good thing. If you want to take her out to lunch, take her out to lunch. But if you just want to text or call her up and say, man, I don't know what's going on, but I want you to know that I'm praying for you right now. Let's just sow into this young lady as much as we can. How many in here can do that? We can do that. We're really good at that. And then, of course, whenever a missionary gets up, they're always, it's real awkward because they're saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. Would you guys like to partner with me in prayer and things like that? But one of the things Mackenzie really needs is finances, right? She needs to have the ability to be able to disciple students and minister on that campus with the time that God has allotted her in this season. So if you can, I would say talk to Mackenzie about partnering with her on a month-to-month basis, or just hand her a big wad of cash that she can use toward that. But we are a giving church. We want to get behind her as a church. We are supporting her as a church. She is one of the missionaries that we now support, but we can also do that on an individual basis. Lots of us in here could do that as well, right? So we want to do that. We want to pray for her. We want to sow into her, and we want to help finance her because, gosh, think about the opportunities. The opportunities are amazing. She's a representative on that campus, in that community of Jesus Christ, and we get to be a part of that. So often when we have world missionaries, they're on furlough, they're raising money, so while they're here, they're not actually on their mission field. U.S. missions, Chi Alpha is amazing because she's in this church on Sunday, but she's on her mission field during the week. So let's support her in all of those things. It's amazing. It's awesome. God's going to do great things. If you don't know Mackenzie, get to know Mackenzie. She's contagious, man. It's just like, oh my gosh. She's so excited and she's so passionate, and we love to see that, don't we? That wakes us up and does everything. So don't everybody mob her all at once today, but just come up, say, hey, I'm praying for you. Can I have a card? Hey, I can do this. Hey, what about this? All of those things, but get to know her. She was amazing with the kids this last week, as with all our volunteers, but it was so nice just to see that and everything. So we're going to pray for you. We are going to support you. We are going to sow into you. We're going to do everything that we can. And we are a resource for you. So when you need stuff, you come to me and we will figure it out. Amen? Awesome! That is so cool. So we're excited. So excited about that. She actually shared with me a quick story. I'll just share this briefly, but she said, God was telling me I needed to talk to you and Amy about, you know, support and all that. And I was so nervous because I went to a pastor and she didn't get the response that she should have. She kind of got the opposite of what we as a church would respond. And it's kind of like, you shouldn't be doing this type of thing. And man, that broke my heart. And it even affected her a little bit. But now we as a church can pour into her and say, we believe in you. We believe in you, so go forth and do it. We're sending you right now, but we're walking with you because you're in town. So awesome, so awesome. So meet her today, encourage her today, but not just today. Make it an ongoing thing. Amen, we can do that. We at the church and a body are so incredibly good at that. So thank you for being here. Thank you for making this your church home and allow us to bless you and love on you and all that good stuff. Awesome. That's right. That is right. All right. Let's get rolling. But before we get rolling, I want to announce something. Hey, Zana, come up here. I want to have you run this to the back. How many of you guys may be interested in getting baptized or rebaptized? I would encourage you guys to think about that and to pray about that. I got a sign-up sheet. If you're interested in being baptized, put your name and number. If you just want more info on baptism, water baptism, just put need more info, whatever, and I'll get back to you and we'll talk about it. But it's a good time of year to get baptized. Every time of year is a good time of year to get baptized. But in Montana, because we do it outside, it's a really good time to get baptized, better than January or February. I would say this. If you're sitting there saying, well, I've already been baptized, outside on the table under the TV, thank you, girl. If you're sitting there saying, oh, I got baptized 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago or a year ago, and so I've already checked that off my list, right? Check it off. I've done that. I would encourage you to really search within yourself, ask the Holy Spirit for guidance on this. Sometimes we just need to get baptized again. So what baptism is the way we explain it. It's an outward expression of an inward experience. So if the Holy Spirit is doing something anew in you, maybe you kind of backslid a little or were in a spot where maybe you shouldn't be. You had a season where you shouldn't be. Sometimes we just need to reaffirm and re-express outwardly what God is now doing to us inwardly. Nothing in the Bible, you won't find it in the Bible where it says, thou shalt only get water baptized one time. Doesn't say that in there. It's not one of the commandments or anything. So if you've changed, if you've been in a season of drought and you feel like you're coming alive again, if you're in a season of drought and you just feel like, God, man, I just need to reaffirm my commitment to Jesus, water baptism is an incredible way to do that. It's symbolic, it's an ordinance of the church, but it's an act of faith and humility to go out and to publicly profess your faith in such a manner. If you are interested or have questions on baptism, please sign up on that sheet, and then we will pick a time, either a Sunday morning right after service or possibly a Wednesday evening. We can all meet down there, but we'll just see how many sign up and how many might want this. But I would encourage you to, number one, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in this manner. Amen? All right, let's get rolling. Let's get rolling. We got a great message today, and I'll say this, next week's message is, it'll be a continuation, but next week's message is, ooh, it's so good. Let's pray. Father, once again, we're glad to be in your house this morning. What a great place to be. I love it. Love being in your house, Lord God. Jesus, we thank you. We give all our praise to you. You, your sacrifice, your life, your guidance, the gospel, your teaching, all of those things. We want more. We want more of that. Lord, help us to be Jesus in this community. Help us to reflect you and your attributes into a community and into a world that's very in the dark and ignorant to the beautiful message of the gospel. Holy Spirit, this is your service. You have rule and reign here. Allow me to say what I need to say. Shut my mouth with everything else. I trust you, Holy Spirit, to do that. Once again, I'm going to say it. I'm going to pray it again. And I know you're faithful in this. Don't let anybody leave here today the same way that they came in. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And once more, everyone shout it out. Amen. So our series on Colossians, it does continue today, and though we have covered only a whopping 4 verses, I think and I hope that you are learning more about this short but very powerful book. I also hope you are taking what we are learning, what we are exploring, and that you are taking that and actually putting it in and applying these principles into your life. See, Bible knowledge is a great thing. A lot of people have a lot of Bible knowledge, and they'll flaunt that Bible knowledge. And we need to have Bible knowledge, but Bible knowledge without application into our life doesn't do us much good. So please take what we're learning, take what we're studying, grab those nuggets that the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, grab that, and then take those in, and implement them into your lives, what we are learning. Now, we need to remember that the Colossian church was facing issues. Church issues. Church issues are nothing new. Church issues have never faded. Church issues will always be there. Well, this particular church is facing issues. False teaching. So there's those in this congregation that are making statements, and they're trying to teach people things about Jesus and Christian life that deviate from the gospel message of Christ and Paul's teachings as an apostle. So Paul has written this letter for both the encouragement of the faithful believers as well as some practical and foundational instruction that they need to be reminded of and to keep them right in the forefront of their church. Do you remember the main three points Paul is covering here? We've looked at them every week so far. Why stop now? Jesus is central and supreme to all and in all things. Number two, Jesus is the Son of God. Number three, we are to strive to live a life in Christ. Those are great principles. Those are important principles. Let's keep those in mind as we continue to go through this series on Colossians. But also, please remember it's important to apply these same principles, not just as a teaching or study technique, but we need to be putting these into effect into our lives on a daily basis. We do that simply by making them personal. So we change that around and we make this personal. It's number one, Jesus, we say you are central and supreme to me and in all things in my life. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Jesus, I will constantly and continually strive to live a life in you as my Lord and Savior. These are important faith professions, right? We profess them. We need to do that again, not once in our life, not even once a year, not once a month. At least once a day, but we can be professing things like this. Man, sometimes it's just good to sit down with God and say, Jesus, man, I totally believe, fully believe that you are the Son of God. And you are my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to profess that over and over again. Jesus, you are central and supreme to all things. You're the God of everything. That's just good stuff. We ought to be doing that all the time. Now, last week, we were introduced to the greatest run-on sentence of all times. In the original Greek, this sentence goes from verse 3 to 14. That's a long sentence, verse 3 to 14. And we read it, and then we started breaking it down, and we're going to pick that up this morning. If you happen to miss last week's message, or really any of the messages, you can always find them online. You can get them on Facebook, right? We have a Facebook page. Easy, we do Facebook Live, and then they're also there for later. We also upload them and put them on our YouTube page. And the easiest way to get to any of the previous messages is through our app. So if you've missed any, or you know, hey, I'm going to family camp, or I know I'm going to be gone in the next few weeks, I would definitely get on there, listen to them, so you don't have that gap in this series. Now, we know that in verse 3 from last week, Paul is giving thanks, and he's not giving thanks to the Colossian church. Rather, he is giving thanks to God for the faithful believers in the Colossian church, right? There's a big difference there. When we give thanks to things, we should be giving God the thanks for those things. God should be central and amongst that and in that. So today we're going to pick it up in verse 5, but remember this is one long run-on sentence. Or I guess it's a thought, right? This is a thought that Paul had, what he was conveying. So we're going to pick it up in verse 4. We're going to start in verse 4, even though it overlaps from last week. It'll all work out good. So if you have your Bibles, if you're not already there, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 4. We're going to look at verse 4 and 5 real quick here. It says this: For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, how you lean on him with absolute confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and of the unselfish love which you have for all the saints, God's people, because of the confident hope of experiencing that which is reserved and waiting for you in heaven. You previously heard of this hope in the message of truth, the gospel regarding salvation. When these are read together, we see Paul's emphasis on faith, love, and hope. And we can think of these really as Paul's three go-to Christian values. These are the Christian values that Paul puts forward time again. And as such, we need to make these our personal attributes that we strive to live by. Not too bad, huh? Those are pretty good ones. We need to express them in a world that really lives in the darkness of their three things: sin, fear, and anguish. I would say that Paul's most recognizable use of these attributes of Jesus is found in 1 Corinthians 13, if you remember that passage. And now there remain faith, abiding trust in God and His promise, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. These three, the choicest graces, but the greatest of these is love. We understand that. We know that to be true. We understand Paul's teaching on that. Did you understand that Paul weaves that throughout his letters? So once again, Paul is encouraging and he's edifying these faithful believers as they are dealing with the issues, the divisions, and the potential destruction that the false teaching opens the door to. I'll say that once again. Any church that allows false teaching to take a hold is destined for division, it's destined for separation, and it's destined for destruction. But instead of directly reprimanding those who are perpetrating this false teaching, Paul here is focusing on the faithful believers in order to build them up and strengthen them in Christ and in the confidence of their belief. And I would say this, that's not a bad approach. Wouldn't you agree? He could tear everything down and reprimand and just plainly address those that are bringing the false teaching. But Paul has a greater understanding that he says, man, if I can build up the faithful believers in this church, the strength of this church will be made in such a way that they can withstand anything, not just now, but forevermore, right? Paul knows that his days are probably getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Remember, this is a prison epistle. Paul's in prison. He can't just go anywhere. So he has to establish some things. He has to teach them in such a way that they can continue this strength. So he focuses here on their faith, which is a commitment to or trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's what faith is, right? Faith is that commitment or trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. They are anchored in Christ, and that allows them to be able to rest in Christ. If you say, boy, I just need rest in my life, and somebody says, you just need to rest in Christ, and that doesn't make any sense to you, and you don't understand that, you need to take a step back and say, are you first anchored in Christ? We need to anchor ourselves in Christ, therefore the rest in Christ comes naturally. So I would ask you this, how is your faithfulness? Love. Let's talk about love. Love is the fruit of faith and the proof of the genuineness of that faith. So we have faith, but how do we know that we have faith? Well, we know that we have faith because it is accompanied by love. See, if you profess the faith in Christ, the proof of that faith must be expressed in your love. It must be. It has to be. It's a natural progression. If you claim to have faith but you have no love, where is that faith? What is that faith based in? And isn't this the example of Jesus? Jesus had faith in the Father. He had faith in the Father, and he had faith in the Father's plan. And one of the expressions of that faith was Jesus going to the cross. Jesus didn't deviate from that. Jesus went to the cross out of love. And that love was the expression of the faith that he had in his Father's plan for the redemption of mankind. It's John 3:16 right there. See, this is extraordinary, especially since we are to emulate Christ in our lives. We're to emulate him and his servanthood and his faith and his expression of love. And finally, that brings us to hope. Hope is a belief in tomorrow while standing in the certainty and confidence of Christ today. Are you hopeful? Do you have that hope? Paul here affirms two things about hope of the faithful believers in the Colossian church. First of all, their hope is securely reserved and waiting for them in heaven. It's the hope of eternity. It's knowing that you are going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. So hope is not only for us right now, it determines how we face today, but hope is also something that is stored up for us and awaiting us in heaven and in eternity. Aren't you glad that you have a hope in Christ? Aren't you glad about that? Now walk around this town and look at all the people that are hopeless. They don't have a hope in Christ. That's tragic. That's terrible. Both of those make total sense to us because Jesus is in fact hope. With him, we cannot have anything but hope. If you have Jesus in your life, a faith in Jesus that's expressed in love, then you are going to have a hope in Jesus. A personal relationship with Jesus has to bring hope into our life. So we cannot have Jesus and not also have hope. But if we don't have Jesus, we can have no hope. Those without Jesus have no hope. No matter what they try to say, no matter what they try to point to, a life without Jesus is a life without hope, because hope is stored up in eternity for those things yet to come. So if you don't have eternity with Christ, how can we have hope now? We can't. Now, second, what Paul is doing here is he's showing the faithful, he's showing them that the knowledge of hope initially came from hearing the word of truth, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We heard that from Mackenzie this morning, for goodness sakes. It's the gospel message that brings hope. We have an understanding. And not only was that gospel message for Mackenzie, that gospel message went through Mackenzie and is now affecting others who are living without hope. It's all about the gospel. It's the Acts 1:8 mandate that we are all to embrace, right? Go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is with us, to the end of the age. And for the Colossians here, it was really Epaphras who preached the message of the gospel to them first, initially, in the purity and the beauty and the power of the Holy Spirit. Through him, they heard the word of God, which took root through the Holy Spirit and produce the hope that they are currently living in, and the hope that is reserved for them in heaven. Now, let's see, I think I have a slide on this one. Though Paul is specifically writing this letter to the faithful believers in the Colossian church, we must understand that the doctrine that Paul is expressing here is very much for you and me today. Do you guys believe that? Though we are reading it, though we are seeing what was going on in the Colossians church, though we are seeing the encouragement and thankfulness and the prayer that Paul is putting forth to them specifically, we need to understand that that same doctrine is applicable for each one of us here and now. Preaching and the study of God's Word brings a hope into our lives that, in conjunction with our faith, is then expressed through our love, the action of life in Christ. Do you have the action of a life in Christ? Are you expressing the action of a life in Christ? The Christian lifestyle, and when I say the Christian lifestyle, I'm talking about the authentic, born-again Christian lifestyle here, is unmatched by anything in this world or that mankind can offer. If you are not on the greatest adventure called a relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing in this world can compare to that. I would encourage you to grab on and get into that adventure that we call being a born-again believer. See, Paul understands this. He gets this. He lives by this. He preaches this. And here, he is thanking God because of this body of faithful believers in the Colossian church. They get it too. So he's thankful for that. I would ask you today, do you get it? Do you understand it? Are you living it out? Do you understand, apply, and express faith, love, and hope in your everyday life? See, it's everything that Jesus wants, and it's everything that Jesus has for each one of us. Let's keep going. We're just going to rock it. We're going to get through more than two verses today if we keep going on like we are. Verse 6, which has come to you, indeed, just as in the whole world, the gospel is constantly bearing fruit and spreading by God's power, just as it has been doing among you ever since the day you first heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, becoming thoroughly and deeply acquainted with it. I love that. Are you thoroughly and deeply acquainted with the gospel? Have you ever thought of it like that? Am I thoroughly acquainted and deeply acquainted with the gospel? It's great stuff. See, in verse 5, Paul established how the gospel message first came to them. And now Paul does something really amazing here. He takes it the next step further, stating that this gospel message, this gospel plan is for the whole world to hear about Christ. Not just the Colossian church, but the whole world, and in turn will consistently bear fruit and spread God's greatness. It will consistently bear fruit and spread God's greatness. When does the gospel message go out of season? Never. When does it go out of style? Never. When does it not produce good fruit? Never. See, I appreciate this simply because as humans, our human nature can be to look no further than what is directly in front of us, right? It's like, hey, how's it going? It's all about what's directly in front of us. It's just how we're wired. As a Christian, our world can easily become our relationship with Christ and what He has done in my life. And that's a testimony that we need to share, but if not careful, that's our entire worldview is simply what Jesus has done in my life. And then I mix in some of my church friends, maybe a potluck here and there, and what we as a church are doing, like VBS, and that can be the extent of my world and my view as this world. Even if it's a church issue or if it's church problems. See, if a church is going through an issue or problem, those people in that congregation tend to think all Christianity is having this same issue and this same problem because that's what's in front of us. And we get a very narrow gaze at what's going on. But Paul here, Paul reminds the believers in this church, as well as each one of us, that the gospel message of Jesus Christ is constantly bearing fruit and is spreading around the whole wide world. It doesn't matter what's going on in Helena, Montana today. That doesn't determine the effectiveness of the gospel message that is reaching around the world. And Paul wants to remind them of this. See, Paul is helping them and us in our faith, love, and hope by encouraging us to see a more complete picture, the picture that God is painting. Is America currently a mess? Yes, but Jesus is so far above America. Is this world currently a mess? Yes, but Jesus is so far above this world. Despite what sinful man is pushing and propagating, God is on His throne and the gospel message is constantly bearing fruit and spreading faith, love, and hope across the whole world, just as it has been doing among you ever since the day you first heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, becoming thoroughly and deeply acquainted with it. So we understand and we get excited and we shout out amen and hallelujah that the gospel message is not confined by any man or mankind philosophy or ideology. The gospel message is continually spreading around this world and it's producing fruit and people are being acquainted with it. And it's the faith and the love and the hope that people are getting built up in. But let us not forget the chief way that God desires that to happen is through you and it's through me. So we need to be sharing our testimony. We need to be extending our faith. We need to have the action of love. We need to be speaking hope to those around us. We need to be inviting them out for coffee. We need to be inviting them to church. There's so many that are hopeless. So many that are hopeless. And we are the ones that can change that by leading them to Jesus by way of the Holy Spirit's guidance. Amen. How exciting is this? I love it how Paul just says, hey, I know you guys are going through some things. I'm thankful for you guys. You guys are faithful believers. Everything is going. I want to strengthen your strengths, right? I don't want to just look at your weaknesses and your faults, but I want to strengthen your strengths. He's focusing on this church, but then he steps back and he says, but wait a second. Wait a second. You guys got to understand that though this is happening in your church, good or bad or indifferent, you got to understand that the gospel message is for the entire world and is going out through the entire world. It's something that we need to keep in mind more often. See, on a Sunday morning, we can be like, woo, yeah, we love our worship, man. Oh, it's so good to see so-and-so. And man, I'm going to get some of them biscuits and gravy and some of those brownies later and all this stuff. But we can never remember that there's people sitting on the Carroll College campus right down there that are living without Jesus. They are hopeless. And there are people that are in India, lots and lots of people that are in India that are living without the hope of Jesus. And we have to take that global idea, that bigger picture. Yes, we come to this church, we sow into this church, we love being in this church, we get ministered in this church, but don't let your Christian worldview and your Christian experience ever be determined simply by this church. It's much bigger than that, right? It's God's church and it's God's world. Now though Epaphras was bringing a concern, he's bringing a concern about the false teaching to Paul that were happening in this church. And again, remember, Paul is confined here. He's under arrest here. Paul is looking beyond his own chains and the problems of this Colossian church, and he's proclaiming his thankfulness to God, the Father of Jesus Christ, that the gospel message has not, is not, and can never be contained. It's the same thing we need to give God our thanks for. In humble submission, we just need to be thankful that no matter what a country does, no matter if it's a socialist country, communist country that has blocked all Christians, you think Christianity stops at the borders of North Korea or Iran and says, oh, it's not allowed here? The Holy Spirit says, I'll respect that, I'll stay out of this. Absolutely not. The gospel goes everywhere, and we need to be excited about that, we need to be aware about that, and we need to continue to pray for that. And as a result, people's lives and the lives of families and whole communities are being changed into the likeness of Christ. And faith, love, and hope are invading the darkness. It's invading the darkness of this world. How exciting is that? How exciting is it that we're on the winning team? How exciting is it that we've already experienced it? Now that's what we are passionate to talk about. Quite a lot to get excited about. And sometimes we just need to take a step back from our busyness and rejoice with humility and thankfulness and to give God the glory and express to Him and others not only how he changed our life, but also how he is changing the lives of others around this world. Wow! Amen to that. What a great thing to rejoice about. God is active. Jesus is alive. And the Holy Spirit is moving us to preach Christ and the gospel around this world. All right, let's keep going. We're going to knock out a couple more here. This is 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8. You learned it from our representative Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and he also has told us of your love, well-grounded and nurtured in the Holy Spirit. So now Paul's thankfulness turns to Epaphras. Now he's thankful to God for this man named Epaphras. Unfortunately, we know very little about this man outside of the few times that Paul mentions him. He mentions him here. He mentions him in Philemon. I think he might mention him in one more place, in one more epistle. But what we do know is that he was faithful, and that through his obedient service, many were exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and made a commitment to follow Jesus. Man, what more accolades could you want than that? Epaphras, who is he? We don't know too much about him, but he brought a lot of people to Christ. Well, then that's the guy I want to know. We know that he was a native of Colossae. That's where he came from. But he had not only ministered there, but also in Laodicea and Hierapolis. So even though he was in the Colossian church, everywhere he went, he wanted to talk about his Jesus. But look at how Paul describes him. I think that's important to understand and look at how Paul describes him. Paul describes him as a beloved fellow bondservant. Man, I would so love for Paul someday to describe me as a beloved fellow bondservant. How amazing would that be? Those are possibly the greatest accolades that Paul can give to anyone. Paul continues by saying, Epaphras is a faithful minister of Christ on their behalf. Paul's establishing that the gospel that he preaches is the same one that Epaphras preaches, that it's a continuation of the pure and the true gospel, not the false teachings that are trying to invade. These are not accomplishments or esteem that mankind looks for. Right? Fame and fortune, to be the envy of others, making a mark on this world, that is what our human nature seeks. It's what each one of us has to battle with. It's what our pride and our envy throws in our face. We want to be famous. We want other people to envy us. We want to be remembered in history as a titan in this world and things like that. But Paul is affirming Epaphras here, and he is using him as an example of what a kingdom-centered believer should look like. What should a kingdom-centered believer look like? Don't look any further than Epaphras. He's a faithful bondservant. He's a minister of the gospel, the pure gospel that the Apostle Paul first preached, that came directly from Jesus himself. See, the false teachers in the Colossian community, and really any false teachers, long for people to listen to them and to follow them. That's their main goal. A false teacher wants you to take your eyes off Jesus and follow them. They have a God complex, right? That's what their desire is. They want to mislead you, but they want to lead you most of all. Politicians do it. I hate to say it, but politicians do it. Bigwigs, actors, actors thinking that they have a voice so they can say whatever they want so people will follow them more. CEOs, they all do the same thing. It's human nature. Not all of them, of course, not all of them, but many of them do because, again, it's human nature. They want to be the gods of the common people. But a kingdom-minded believer points all things to Christ and needs nothing for themselves. Think about that. That's the epitome of humility. The kingdom-minded believer points all things to Christ and needs nothing for himself. What did Jesus do? Jesus just pointed to his Father, pointed to his Father, pointed to his Father. It's Jesus, for goodness sakes. But all he wanted to do was point to his Father. What does the Holy Spirit do? Holy Spirit always points to Jesus, right? In our lives, it's seen pointing to Jesus. That's our example here. That's how we need to live our life. But the only way this can happen is through humble submission. Thank you, Lord, that we have people in this world, born-again believers who love you so much that they will humbly submit to you and go where you want them to go, say what you want them to say, and do what you want them to do. For Epaphras, this comes out in verse 8. This Paul now reminds the faithful believers that Epaphras has told Paul of the love in the Holy Spirit that they express. See, this is important. Now Paul brings it back and he says, but this is who Epaphras is, but this is what he is doing. This is what I'm hearing. And this does a couple of things. It once again serves as a confidence builder for the church. It is Paul saying, well done, you are on the right track. Keep moving forward. Don't give up in expressing the love of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And that itself is of vital importance, especially because of what this church is facing with the false doctrine and the false teaching that is seeking to bring division. But secondly, by Paul stating that it is Epaphras who has told them of their love, Paul is affirming Epaphras in front of the church, in front of the people, the faithful believers that are going to hear this letter. See, in a time of testing and in a time of potential division, Epaphras is the pastor that they need to get him through, to get them through this season. And Paul is confirming that. It's as if Paul is saying, Epaphras believes in you, and through his report, I believe in you. Now believe in Epaphras and his leadership. And again, I just appreciate Paul and his encouragement and his leadership here. The faithful believers are rooted and holding on to what is most important here, faith, love, and a hope in Christ. As long as they stay true to this, no matter what else might happen, they will be good. No matter what else comes against them, if they keep the principles of the gospel and they keep their faith, they express that faith through their love, and they treat every day with hope in Christ, it doesn't matter what comes against them, they're going to withstand that. That's for us too. And that's the confidence that we all, each one of us, have access to through and in Christ. Worship team, if you guys want to come up here. So no matter what this world has thrown at you, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what trials and tribulations are going on during this season, stay true to faith, love, and hope in Christ Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing that this world throws at us matters. Stay true to that faith. Stay true to expressing that love, and stay true to living in that hope. Because he is the enduring, and he is the everlasting constant, and it is Jesus that we will spend eternity with. So every time you kind of start to sink low, remember that your hope is stored up in heaven. It's an eternal hope. It's a hope with Jesus. Get before him. Get to praying. Strengthen your faith. Pull that together. Go express your love to Jesus and love on somebody else. and proclaim that hope that you have, not only to yourself, but to others. You guys drop them lights down. That's the perspective that really gets us through the hard times. And that's the perspective that keeps us humble in the good times. Because how many of you guys know that in the good times can be the dangerous times? The good time, everything's going good. Things are going great. You skip church this month because everything's good. I don't feel compelled to go. I don't feel convicted to be in the Word. I don't feel like I need to participate in worship because everything's going good. We got to guard ourselves against that. We need to humble ourselves against that. But sometimes in the hard times, it's just hard. I know I need to go to church, but I don't even know if I can get out of my bed this morning. I'm grumpy. I'm mad. I'm angry. If I go, I'll probably say something bad for the better of everybody else. I better stay home. No, not at all. You come here. This church has big shoulders. Good shoulders to cry on. Big shoulders to help carry your load. The local church is so vitally important, isn't it? Having a church home is incredibly important. That's God's principle. It's God's understanding. That's God's plan that we have this together. And within that, we also understand that this is going on all around the world today in different countries and different places and in places like China and North Korea and Iran where the church has to meet underground. Shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody that we're having church this morning because they'll come and arrest our pastor. Half of you in here would be like, oh, I will tell everybody. At least that'll shut him up. But they're meeting in that and they're risking their lives to get to that because they too understand, just like we do, the importance of being part of the body and the importance of having a gospel global outlook, understanding that God is alive. God is moving. How exciting is that? I'm so excited. I am so excited for the Carroll College campus that they get McKenzie. Oh my goodness. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out what's going to happen in students' lives as she continues to preach Jesus and to disciple people. She is going to change lives through the Holy Spirit. But more importantly, she's going to help change the internal destination of people. And that's because she's a appointed missionary through Chi Alpha and the Assemblies of God. So it's all on her, right? Absolutely not. Acts 1:8, we're all under that same mandate. Who have you invited to church lately? Who have you just shared your testimony with lately? Who have you instilled hope in lately? Who have you showed love to lately? Seriously, think about it. Are you in a dry spell? Man, just like that rain Friday night where it was like somebody took a bucket of water and poured it over my house. That's what we should be giving out because that's what God puts into us. Let's start inviting more. Let's start speaking more. Let's start sharing our testimony more. What we will find is a world that is hopeless and living in the darkness and will crave your word. Now, sometimes initially people are going to get really upset. So we should shrink back to our houses and come hide in our church every Sunday morning because somebody said that they didn't want to hear our testimony. That's what we ought to do, right? Absolutely not. Causes us to want to speak it out even more. So the question I leave with you today is, where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at in this hope, love, and faith thing? Where are you in this plugging into church thing? Where are you in with sharing your testimony thing? Where are you with walking in the season that you're walking in? If it's a hard time, are you still walking through it? Because Jesus keeps saying, get up and walk. If it's a good time, are you grounded in Jesus and are you still focused upon Him? These are great questions. These are hard questions. It's nice outside. It's a great time to be out and about in the beautiful nature that God created in Montana. But is that a distraction to what God really wants to accomplish in you? What about your workplace? Are you sharing Jesus in your workplace? Or are you afraid that might bring conflict and somebody might get offended? Well, if the Holy Spirit's telling you to do it, who are you going to trust? All of these things are great things to ask yourselves this morning. We are, of course, going to close with worship, but we're also going to close with an open altar. So I would say if you're struggling this morning, get to the altar. I would say if you're doing really good this morning, get to the altar. We come and we humble ourselves in front of Him and we bask in the glory and the power and the love of the Holy Spirit. If you need guidance, if you don't know what your next step is, man, if you've taken that next step and you're wondering if God is still with you, get to the altar. Let's just come to the altar, worship, ask questions, pray with each other, praise God, bask in His wonderfulness. And let's be a church that is about the Father's business. We talk about being a Spirit-filled church. Part about being a Spirit-filled church is embracing the Holy Spirit. And we do that at the end of service. It's what we call an altar call, and it's an amazing thing. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've never really had a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been to church and all that. You don't really know what that is. Well, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. If that's something that you want, then don't leave here today without grabbing hold to that. Maybe you have something that you need to repent of. Lay it at the altar. Lay it down and leave it. Amen. Everybody stand up. We're going to pray. We're going to open up these altars. Heck, no. Altars are open now. If you want to come to the altar, come now. We're going to worship and we're going to love God. God is not done with any one of us. Father, thank you for the beauty of your word. Lord God, thank you that by way of the Holy Spirit, you inspired that word. And Lord God, it's not a historical text. It's an alive text. It is beneficial for us. Lord, we long for the good fruit that you desire to produce in us. So we humbly bow down to you and we submit ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, I trust that you are working right now. I trust that you will continue to work. Some need broken down. Some need lifted up. Some need comforted. Some need counsel. It doesn't matter. Holy Spirit, you can do it all. And through your wisdom, it'll happen. So, Lord God, we give this all to you. We praise the mighty name of Jesus, and we lift him high. We pray this and we say amen in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.